We continue our sermon series on the road again. A few weeks ago, our lead pastor, Dean, mentioned that Pastor Teresa, right over here, if you direct your attention, designed a 5-week sermon series. He also mentioned that Pastor Teresa labeled the sermons, titled the sermons for us, and then gave us the scripture to preach on. So a couple of weeks ago, you know that Pastor Dean preached on this Lucan text that deals with, shall we say, Dean, an older statesman about facing retirement. And his sermon was Pack Light. If you haven't heard that sermon, friends, go back and listen to it. He talked about what? Stuff. All the stuff that we have. Today you see that she has assigned me the intriguing title, Constructions, Roadblocks, and Detours, Oh My, with the sermon text, Bent Over Woman. I'm not exactly sure what she's trying to say, but we're going to go with it. Thank you, Pastor Teresa. My friends, take a quick a look at the person to your left and to your right, and then let's have a prayer. God, we pray for the people that are beside us, that you might come into their hearts afresh and anew. And then we pray for ourselves, that you also might strengthen us as we continue this journey we call life. Amen. When I saw the sermon title, I was intrigued, and then I thought of this short chant. If you know it, say it with me. Lions and tigers and bears. Lions and tigers and bears. Now, let's just be honest. Who thought of that? Who was thinking about that when you saw it? Of course, this comes from that great classic, The Wizard of Oz. We know that Dorothy and all of the fictional characters therein on their road to Emerald City encountered many roadblocks along the way. But I'm not going to preach on that. I'm going to preach on something else. Midweek, I spent some time with my family in North Carolina. We had a sudden death of my cousin, who's younger than me. She's 41 years old. I'm still trying to get my mind around this death. But as I was making my way back, I was traveling, and God gave me a great nugget. Any of you have ever been on 395, 495, 95, you know the traffic that can ensue on those roads. But the 350-mile trip was just beautiful. I mean, Barbara, it was beautiful until 15 miles out. And it took 57 minutes to go 15 miles. Now, I can't exactly, because I see that we have some, we used to say big pitchers with young ears listening. But I cannot tell you the kinds of things that I was thinking. But what I did say was, for the love of Yahweh, move, people, move. Let those of us who want to risk getting a ticket hang in the left lane. Would you please move? I know if you drive anywhere around this area, you are experiencing the physical aspects of constructions and roadblocks and detours. You see these beautiful orange cones. These lovely people with these vests, steel planks and concrete barriers that are pretty much a part of our landscape. We cannot escape it. Anybody been down 16th lately? Every time I get ready to drive that way, I just gear myself up with a prayer, because, Lord, I need it like 2 seconds later. This is not the way to teach me patience. I keep telling God that, and God will not listen to me. In the text that was read for us, we learn of a different kind of roadblock. Jesus was teaching in the synagogue on a Sabbath, and there are a couple of things that I just want to mention briefly about this. First, this is believed to have been Jesus' last time in the synagogue. Jesus had become too radical and too controversial for the leaders. Second, the miraculous healing took place on a Sabbath. The Jewish custom in antiquity did not allow for a Sabbath healing. Healings on the Sabbath was considered to be strictly in the case of life or death. And this was Jesus' third time healing in the Sabbath. He was such a radical kind of guy. Well, my friends, Holy Scripture does not give the woman a name, so I'm going to take a little bit of liberty, and I'm going to call her Bent Over. So while he was teaching, there was Bent Over in the synagogue who had come to worship one more time. Evidently, she was a faithful worshiper. Perhaps every week she went to seek God's grace. She did not let her ailment stop her. Holy Scripture tells us that a spirit had crippled her for 18 years. I like the translation and of another passage that says 18 long years. Look around the congregation. Ask someone who was raising a teenager how that experience has gone for 18 years. I called my mom yesterday and I said, Ella, and sometimes I say mama, but Ella Hand, she's a Yes Dawn Hand. I said, I'm preaching tomorrow and I want to ask you a question, mama. How was it raising me for my first 18 years of life? That's pretty bold for me to ask Ella Hand that, because she's a very, very honest woman. So she's paused, and I have an older brother and a younger sister. She paused a moment, Levita, and she said, for the most part, y'all were very joyous. It was a joy to raise you. And I was like, aw, God, Mama, that's so sweet. I'm going to share that tomorrow. And then she says, now. You can ask me what she said after that, but she did make a point to me. She said, you know what? It was our responsibility in your first 18 years to raise you. We made all the major decisions. It didn't matter that you didn't like them, but we're parents, and that's what we are supposed to do. I thank her for that. My friends, ask someone who has been married 18 years how that experience is going. Hopefully they'll tell you it's good. But 18 years is a long, long time. Now, I'd like to exercise my imagination for just a few moments, if you don't mind, Pastor Dean. You said I could do it. I just think about Bent Over, Jennifer. There she is every day of her life for 18 years. Long years, somebody say long. Long years, and this is the perspective that she has every day and every night. She is just plumb bent over. The scripture tells us that she was not able to stand up at all. Can you imagine just walking like this every day and night for 18 long years, Diane, and not having a perspective but a downward one? All you see all day long are feet and works, rocks and dirt and debris. Maybe, just maybe, you might walk upon a little flower. But this is basically what you get to see for 18 long years. But one day, she made her way again to the synagogue, Rita, and there she encountered Jesus. Now, we know she was a faithful woman because she recognized who Jesus was. Why? Because she couldn't look up to see him, because this is the perspective that she had all the time. And Jesus called her. All to be called by Jesus. And she went to him, and Jesus said to her, Lynn, you are set free. And the scripture tells us immediately she straightened up. And then she started to praise God. And I have got to believe, and just bear with me for just a moment, if you've been broken down for 18 long years, I think that you might would give God a hand clap of praise. You might wave your hands. I know if I were in that synagogue, I would have been jumping up and praising God with her. Lord, look what you've done. Look how you've raised me. One thing that I think about in this text that might be running through your mind is that perhaps we can understand this story because sometimes some of us might see ourselves in the persona of bent over. Perhaps not in a physical sense. Yet certainly in an emotional sense, we imagine the toll that it takes on our mind with a crippled spirit. Now I want to suggest to you that a crippled spirit comes in many forms. Some people are crippled with the spirit of negativity. We know these people. Maybe not here in Foundry, but we know these people. Joe, we see her coming, and the first thing we think is, for the love of Yahweh, how am I going to escape her? We see him coming, and we just hate it, because we know that he is going to run into some tyrant about this thing or that thing. These people are very unhappy. They can suck the living hell out of us. They are bent over with negativity. Some people are crippled with a spirit of abuse or abandonment. She grew up in a household where she was emotionally or physically abused. He suffers from alienation from his family, who told him he would never amount to anything. The sting of the harsh words and actions are still in the forefront of her mind or his mind. Some people are crippled with a spirit of arrogance. We know these people too. Amen? You know some of the ones I know. I'll leave that one alone. Some people are crippled with the spirit of a broken relationship. You tried everything you knew how to do to save your marriage, to save your partnership, to save that you thought was going to be a lifelong loving and fulfilling relationship with this special person, only to realize it just didn't work. And now you're left with the pain that still burns deep within. Months or years later, you find yourself just bent over. Some people are crippled with the spirit of an unforgiving resentment. The church you grew up in made you to believe that you were less than, even though God created you in God's image. You were treated horribly because a person you love. Your friends or family said some cruel or hurtful things to you. A few years later, or even 18 years later, you can't or you won't forgive them. The hurt is just too deep. I want you to know this, my friends. Having a spirit of unforgiving resentment can and does wreak havoc on your mind and your body. It can render you bent over. Some people are crippled with the spirit of coded privilege. Right, wrong, or indifferent, I think a sense of privilege or entitlement can happen in many cultures and races. I'm not one that just thinks that white privilege is the only kind of privilege that there is. It's unfortunate because we all deserve to be treated with dignity, not because we're white or black or Asian or Latino or a Native American or Indian. We deserve to be treated with dignity because we are all children of God. Every culture is a child of God. Last week marked the 93rd anniversary of the women's suffrage movement, which culminated in the passage of the 19th Amendment, which granted the rights of U.S. citizens to vote regardless of their gender. People of God were bent over with the weight of coded privilege, which denied them the right to vote. This week, our nation is commemorating and celebrating the 50th anniversary of the March on Washington. Thousands of people are here. Many more are on the way. I spent some time yesterday with some dear friends down at the Lincoln Memorial. Among the speakers, we heard Martin Luther King III. It was a poignant moment. When Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. delivered his famous speech on August the 28th, 1963, which is referred to as the I Have a Dream speech, in describing the condition of the plight of the supposedly freed people as stipulated in the Emancipation Proclamation, this is what he said, and I quote, "But 100 years later, the Negro still is not free. 100 years later, the life of the Negro is still sadly crippled by the manacles of segregation and the chains of discrimination. Sisters and brothers and people of God, they were bent over with the weight of institutional and systematic oppression. Dr. King and other leaders of the civil rights movement, and I know you probably know some of the pioneers. Today I remember a family friend named Julius Chambers, who was a civil rights law attorney in Charlotte, North Carolina, my hometown. He championed civil rights and had major impact all throughout this country. He died a few weeks ago. If you have not heard of him, internet search him or ask me about him. I've known him since I was born. Dr. King and civil rights pioneers all over these fruited plains were fighting for the rights of oppressed people to be set free and to stand up. Many of us know what it's like to be bent over. We know what it feels like to be weighed down, cast down, burdened, and bound. These spirits that cripple us may be viewed as constructions and roadblocks and detours in our lives, whether we place them for ourselves or whether life's tough circumstances place them. We don't have to stay bent over. We cannot provide a resting place in our hearts or in our souls for these spirits to continue to cripple us. We need to be healed and set free. For 18 long years, Bent Over experienced a roadblock in her life. She encountered a detour along her planned destiny. When Jesus laid hands on her and healed her in that synagogue, her posture changed. Her life changed. She had a whole different perspective. She rejoiced and she gave thanks to God. We can now call her set free. Here is the good news, because we are an Easter people. Jesus can and does the same thing for us. He is the master heal over of any state of being bent over. Constructions, roadblocks, detour. It's just that. It is not the end result. It is not the finality of our destination. We do not have to stay bent over any longer. Listen, the voice of Jesus is calling us in the echoes. Set free.